Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 8th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Economic pressure ratchets up on Russia. We are live in Europe with the latest.
Janet Yellen's push for a global tax agreement suffers a setback.
The war hits food supply as prices surge at the fastest pace ever.
And Elon Musk is set to address the staff at Twitter after taking a stake in the company.
New York lawmakers struck a $220 billion budget deal. Plus, today, President Biden will celebrate future Supreme Court Justice Jackson. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanchnauer in sports. A season-opening win for the Mets, a big win for the Rangers, and they'll play the second round of the Masters today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are higher to end the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 96. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 2.68%. And the yield on the two-year, 2.51%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, we need to bring you the latest on the war. Ukraine now says dozens have been killed this morning in a Russian attack on a railway station. Meantime, the United Nations General Assembly has voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council, and that's just the first step. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says exactly the right move, and U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield says the body must proceed with investigation and punishment.
It's about the credibility of the U.N. Right now, the world is looking to us. They are asking if the United Nations is prepared to meet this moment.
Greenfield calls it an historic moment with work left to be done. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Well, for the first time, the European Union has now targeted Russia's crucial energy revenues. And we go live to London and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Coal imports from Russia are to be banned. That's the agreement reached by the 27 nations of the European Union. It's a significant move for the region, which remains reliant on fossil fuels from Moscow. The bloc's fifth sanctions package, which also includes a ban on most Russian trucks and ships from entering the European Union. As to blocking oil and gas from Russia, well, that is an altogether more difficult proposition. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And to say the least, thank you, Ewan. Many analysts believe energy sanctions, though, will put more pressure on Vladimir Putin. Hagar Shamali is a former policy advisor in the Treasury Department's Sanctions Division.
The language he understands the most is the threat of military force. And so I don't want to equate the threat of sanctions to the threat of military force when it comes to changing his behavior and compelling him to negotiate. But it helps further the pressure, and it helps, most importantly, limit his ability to finance his violent machine.
Former Treasury Department advisor Hagar Shamali was a guest on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. Eastern on Bloomberg Radio.
Meantime, Nathan, the war in Ukraine is having a major impact on the cost of food. Global food prices are surging at the fastest pace ever as the war wreaks havoc on supply chains in the Black Sea region. That sent food prices to a record, with the United Nations Index of World Costs soaring 13% last month.
Now, there's more economic news this morning, Karen, as several Fed officials weigh in on policy. St. Louis President Jim Bullard says he favors raising interest rates sharply to counter the highest inflation in four decades.
This Taylor rule calculation is telling us that where we should be in a minimal, under minimal assumptions, very generous assumptions, it's saying it should be at 3.5%. Where we actually only 1/3 of 1% or 37.5 basis points. So you're too low by about 300 basis points.
St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard is suggesting he backs a half percentage point or percentage point hike in May. However, Atlanta's Raphael Bostic supports increases more in line with the path laid out by the Fed's projections or dot plot.
I think it's fully appropriate that we move our policy closer to a neutral position, but I think we need to do it in a measured way.
Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic is a voter this year on the rate-setting FOMC.
Meantime, Nathan, Fed meetings could see some new faces on the way. Senate Banking Chairman Sherrod Brown says he expects votes by the full chamber on President Biden's four Fed board nominees later this month. We get the details from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
He thinks it'll happen after the Senate's two-week break. The Ohio Democrat said he also hopes Biden will have nominated a new vice chair of supervision by then. Brown said he expects Lisa Cook, a pick for Fed governor, or Lael Brainard, nominated as vice chair, to be the first to be confirmed. Republicans have lined up in opposition to Cook, but four Republicans back Brainard in the banking committee. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. At the Treasury Department this morning, there is an apparent setback for Janet Yellen's push for a global tax agreement. Let's get the latest on that live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And it looks like big business is not backing the plan, Nathan. Executives at eight major U.S.-based multinational corporations interviewed by Bloomberg said that far too much remains unknown about the deal. Treasury Secretary Yellen is counting on their support, which could be critical to help win passage in Congress. The corporate leaders agree the groundbreaking global deal Yellen secured last year could deliver important benefits by helping to reduce disputes and prevent trade wars. But they also called the plan overly complex. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, turning to corporate news now, it's all about Twitter again this morning, just days after announcing a stake in the company. Elon Musk is reportedly set to address the staff. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is planning to host Elon Musk for a Q&A session with employees. That's according to company messages obtained by the Washington Post, which say they are internal outcries over Musk's appointment to Twitter's board of directors. Town hall meetings like this are not new to Silicon Valley, but it's rare to host a board member at one. Twitter's hoping to calm any anxiety workers have about Musk's impact on company culture by giving them the chance to ask him anything. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 85, NASDAQ futures higher by 31 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 51 degrees in Central Park. We got an accident on the Cross Bronx Expressway westbound by the Sheridan. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul and legislative leaders struck a $220 billion budget deal that promises a little less pain at the gas pump, help for working parents, and new tax breaks.
It is balanced, and it pairs a bold vision with a fiscally responsible approach. Very important to me. We are making historic investments that will make a difference in people's lives right now, but also, and more importantly, these are legacy achievements that will be noted for years to come.
Governor Hochul says the budget is buoyed by more than $26 billion in pandemic recovery money and higher than anticipated tax collections. The Democratic leaders agreed to forego $162 million in revenue by accelerating a scheduled reduction in personal income tax rates. They also decided on a $2.2 billion homeowner tax rebate, a six-month suspension of the state's fuel tax, and a $287 million child tax credit. Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg says a criminal investigation into former President Donald Trump and his business practices is continuing, despite a recent shakeup in the probe's leadership. It was part of a double dose of bad legal news for Trump. New York Attorney General Letitia James also asked a court to hold Trump in contempt and fine him $10,000 per day for failing to comply with a subpoena for documents in her ongoing civil investigation. Trump slammed James as an operative for the Democrat Party. President Joe Biden today will celebrate the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the Supreme Court. Vice President Kamala Harris said she was honored to preside over the Senate for yesterday's confirmation vote. The Senate approved Judge Jackson in a 53-47 vote, making her the first black woman to serve as a Supreme Court justice.
What a glorious day and evening it is. What a glorious day.
Vice President Harris spoke about the vote during an event at the National Art Gallery last night. One person who can't be at today's celebration is House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
She tested positive for COVID yesterday. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. Since 1970, the Mets only won the World Series once, but what they have done over the last 53 years is be dominant on opening day, an incredible record of 40-13. It was 5-1 in Washington. Tyler McGill, the surprise opening day starter, hurled five scoreless innings. Eight of the nine Mets starters had hits. Robinson Cano, Pete Alonso, and Mark Canna all had two hits. Tonight in D.C., it's Max Scherzer's Mets debut. He'll face his old team. With the skies now clear, Yankees and Red Sox set to open the season today at the stadium. Garrett Cole versus Nathan Eovaldi. Also this afternoon, round two of the Masters. Tiger Woods has a late tee time that gives him a chance to recover from his first competitive round in a year and a half. It was a very impressive one for Tiger, a one under par, 71.
To play this golf course and to do what I did today, to hit the shots in the right spots, you know, I know where to hit it to a lot of these pins, and I'm missing the correct spots and give myself good angles, and I did that all day, and I was able to make a few putts and end up in a red like I am right now.
24-year-old Korean Sungjae Im shot 67. He's got a one-shot lead on the Aussie Cameron Smith. Hourly updates on Bloomberg Radio, the Masters Tonight wrap-up show at 11. If the NHL season ended now, the Rangers would play Pittsburgh in the opening round. They've met the Penguins three times over the last 2 weeks and won all three. It was 3-0 at the Garden with Igor Shesterkin making 30 saves for his fourth shutout first since January. Devils lost to Montreal 7-4. Final weekend of the NBA regular season. The Knicks close out tonight in Washington and then Sunday versus Toronto. Nets have home games tomorrow and Sunday against Cleveland and Indiana. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. I want to pass along a couple red headlines related to the war in Ukraine that just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. Japan's prime minister says his country will ban Russian coal imports, and the UK has just added the daughters of Vladimir Putin and Russian foreign minister Sergei Lavrov to its sanctions list. More on the U.S. response to the war next with Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, a mix of sun and clouds today. Chance for a shower, low 60s for highs. We'll be in the upper 50s with a chance for a shower tomorrow. Mix of sun and clouds, low 50s on Sunday. Right now, 49 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are ending the week on a positive note with European equities snapping 2 days of decline sparked by the Federal Reserve's plan for aggressive monetary policy tightening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are higher, up 10 points. Dow futures up 94. NASDAQ futures up 38. The DAX in Germany is up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.68%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 77 cents at $96.78 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2.20 at $19.35.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0873 against the dollar, British pound 1.3040, and the yen at 124.10. And Bitcoin this morning, it is higher up 0.4% at $43,770. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The UN General Assembly voted to suspend Russia from the organization's leading human rights body over allegations of atrocities in Ukraine. Meanwhile, European Union countries agreed to ban coal imports from Russia. President Biden will hold a ceremony today for Ketanji Brown Jackson, who was confirmed to the Supreme Court yesterday. In golf at the Masters, Sungjae Im leads the field after round one with 5 under. Tiger Woods is 4 shots back from the lead. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern. Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 5-1 in their opener. The Yankees host the Red Sox today after yesterday's scheduled opener was postponed because of rain. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and
weekend on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Emily Wilkins joins us now, a Bloomberg government reporter from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in the nation's capital as we continue to follow developments in the war in Ukraine. Emily, good morning. Along with the reported atrocities in northern Ukraine, now we're just getting this report from Ukrainian officials in the Donetsk region saying that maybe 30 civilians were killed by Russian shelling at a railway station where people were trying to evacuate. If there was any sense that Russia is concerned about feeling like a pariah country after all the response from the rest of the world, it does not seem like that's the case now if this is confirmed.
I mean, there is definitely a lot of concern, particularly with these new reports that we are hearing come out, just really that give the scope of what has happened in Ukraine at this point. And we're trying to get really sort of a sense of exactly how the war is shifting, of course, and what else is needed to be done. Obviously, there was some optimism, I think, last week when it seemed like negotiations had made some sort of progress. But it's clear at this point, it seems that Russia has simply regrouped and refocused its forces more in the east and less on the area of Kyiv. The U.S. and other countries are still trying to figure out ways to put additional pressure on Putin with additional Russian sanctions. You saw the Senate and the House move very quickly yesterday, passing two bills, one that would ban Russian imports of oil to the U.S., and another one that would end permanent normal trade relations status between the U.S. and Russia. Now, those bills, they say, had gotten held up a little bit over some concerns from Senator Rand Paul, who says that aspects about Russia being punished for humanitarian abuses was not specific enough at what that would be done. But they did come to an agreement. They were able to pass that legislation. Both bills, every single senator voted for them, and they got overwhelming support in the House. And we know more legislation is coming. We're seeing lawmakers continue to say that there's a need to crack down on Putin, to find other things with sanctions. And I know that President Biden is also urging his European allies to find ways to remove themselves from Russian oil, which is certainly much harder in Russia, in Europe rather than in the U.S., but something the U.S. is trying to find a way to help their allies with.
I mean, that's really the key here, isn't it? The idea that Europe needs to wean itself more from Russian oil and gas. I mean, even when you see a unanimous Senate, something you hardly ever see these days, the U.S. focus on Russian trade isn't nearly as important as it is in Europe, right?
Yes. I mean, there's definitely there's an importance, and there is also a lot of, I mean, just in terms of backing up Ukraine, there is a lot of support that you're seeing within the U.S. It's still bipartisan. It's still very strong.
So what are you going to be looking for in the days to come? I mean, what further pressure can the U.S. put on Russia? What further support can the U.S. provide to Ukraine in terms of weapons and humanitarian aid?
Those are all really good questions, Nathan. And we have seen additional calls from Ukraine for additional weapons, things that are a little more heftier than what the U.S. has been currently providing in terms of force. One thing that we've definitely heard from a number of experts, really, is that what Putin is responding to right now is not sanctions, but Putin is responding to force. And so there is a need for more military equipment, more missiles, more weapons, more tanks on the ground. And that's certainly something the U.S. is looking into, as well as humanitarian aid. What is going to happen with the refugees? What is going to happen? What is the future of cities that have been almost completely destroyed, like Mariupol? And we don't know. Congress is out for the next 2 weeks, so we're not expecting to see a lot of action from them at this time. But we know that there is additional legislation that would just continue sanctions on Putin and on those in Putin's inner circle.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington, D.C. We'll be checking back with you later on in the program with so much more going on, even with Congress heading into this two-week recess. We've had history made in terms of the Supreme Court and, of course, got a bit of a COVID outbreak happening in the nation's capital as well. So we'll be checking back with Emily in the next hour for more on what's happening in the nation's capital. Looking ahead to the market open on Wall Street, we're seeing some gains for futures right now, with S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 89, NASDAQ futures are higher by 43 points. 10-year Treasury's down 5/32, the yield 2.67%, yield on the 2-year 2.51. NYMEX crude up a little more than 1%, up $1.01, $97.04 a barrel. And COMEX gold right now down 0.1% at $19.36 even an ounce. Straight ahead, a setback for a global tax deal, and to be a fly on the wall today at Twitter. Your top stories of the morning just ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, chance for a shower today, otherwise a mix of sun and clouds, low 60s to end the week. Partly sunny tomorrow, another chance for a shower, upper 50s. Mix of sun and clouds, low 50s on Sunday. Right now, 49 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Ukraine says dozens have been killed in a Russian attack on a railway station. Meantime, the U.N. General Assembly has voted to suspend Russia from the Human Rights Council. U.S. Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield.
Let us continue to hold Russia accountable for this unprovoked, unjust, unconscionable war, and to do everything in our power to stand with the people of Ukraine.
Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield says it's a collective step in the right direction.
Well, meantime, Karen, for the first time, the European Union's targeting Russia's crucial energy reserves. The bloc has agreed to ban Russian coal imports. It's also banning most Russian trucks and ships from entering the EU.
Meantime, the war in Ukraine is having a major impact on the cost of food. Global food prices are surging at the fastest pace ever as the war wreaks havoc on supply chains. The United Nations Index of World Costs soared 13% last month.
At the Treasury Department this morning, there is an apparent setback for Janet Yellen. We're told big business is pushing back at her plans for a global tax agreement. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, Treasury Secretary Yellen counting on the support of corporate America for her global tax deal to win passage in Congress. But big business nowhere close to backing the plan. Executives at eight major U.S.-based multinational corporations interviewed by Bloomberg say far too much remains unknown about it. Most of the executives say some version of the deal could eventually pass, but not on its current timeline. Live in New York, I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Well, turning to corporate news now, it's all about Twitter again this morning. Just days after announcing a stake in the company, Elon Musk is reportedly set to address the staff. And we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Twitter is planning to host Elon Musk for a Q&A session with employees. That's according to company messages obtained by The Washington Post, which says there are internal outcries over Musk's appointment to Twitter's board of directors. Town hall meetings like this are not new to Silicon Valley, but it's rare to host a board member at one. Twitter's hoping to calm any anxiety workers have about Musk's impact on company culture. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And futures this morning on the rise. S&P futures up about 10 points. Dow futures up 90. NASDAQ futures up 40. And the 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 2.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 49 degrees in Central Park. We've got accident cleanup in South Brunswick. It's got Route 1 closed both ways at New Road. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Governor Kathy Hochul has announced what she calls a conceptual agreement with legislators on a $220 billion state budget. Hochul says New York will devote billions of dollars to help families pay for child care, boost health care worker wages, and temporarily cut state gasoline taxes.
I said that this moment is a once-in-a-generation opportunity to not just bring relief to families and put more money in people's pockets, but also make historic investments in our people and on our state.
Governor Hochul, the budget was due April 1st, but has been held up by last-minute policy and spending disagreements. Federal workers will face renewed pressure to get COVID-19 shots or risk losing their jobs under a court ruling. The federal appeals court told a trial judge to throw out a challenge to President Joe Biden's vaccine mandate covering 2.1 million U.S. government civilian employees. The judge in Texas had previously blocked the presidential order nationwide. Today, President Biden will celebrate the confirmation of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson as the first black woman to reach the Supreme Court. Vice President Kamala Harris said she was honored to preside over the Senate for Thursday's vote confirming Jackson. The Senate approved Judge Jackson on a 53-47 vote.
It was extraordinary. And so indeed, we continue to witness history.
Vice President Harris spoke during an event at the National Art Gallery last night. SpaceX is scheduled to head this morning to the International Space Station with its first all-private astronaut crew organized by Axiom Space. It's a startup building a commercial space station to replace the current one, which is expected to be decommissioned by the end of the decade. Bird flu has been detected in a northern Indiana duck farm. State officials say it marks the disease's spread to a third poultry species. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan, Mets season opener pushed back a week due to the lockout and then pushed back 3 hours due to rain in Washington, and they waited another hour after that. Worth the wait, a 5-1 Mets victory in Buck Showalter's first game as manager. Who needs Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer when you have Tyler McGill? He was terrific. Five scoreless innings, the Mets broke through with two runs in the fifth. Got run scoring hits from Mark Canna and Jeff McNeil in the sixth inning, another from Francisco Lindor in the seventh. Nats got only a Juan Soto home run off Trevor May in the sixth. The Mets are 40-13 on opening day since 1970. Scherzer goes tonight, his Mets debut against his old team. Yankees and Red Sox have their rain-delayed opener this afternoon in the Bronx. At the Garden, the Rangers shut out Pittsburgh 3-0. 30 saves for Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers' 46th win. They move 6 points ahead of the Penguins, and they're now only two behind first place Carolina. The Rangers 17-1 at home when they score the first goal. Opening round of the Masters, the 24-year-old Korean Sungjae Im shot 67, leads the Aussie Cameron Smith by one shot. Dustin Johnson, who won the green jacket 2 years ago, trails by two. Tiger Woods in 23 Masters, five victories, only twice has broken 70. In the opening round, he had a 71, which is remarkable considering the injuries, the long layoff. Tiger then gave a forecast for what's ahead at Augusta.
And we got a long way to go. This golf course is going to change dramatically. Cooler, drier, windier. You can hear the sub-airs on out there. So this golf course is going to change, and it's going to get a lot more difficult.
Round two today. Hourly updates here on Bloomberg Radio and the Masters Tonight Show at 11. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Sounds fun. Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
To-go drinks, a pandemic-era lifeline for many New York City restaurants, will soon be part of the state's new normal. But the terms outlined in a budget bill Thursday come with a catch. Customers will have to buy some food to go along with it. The terms are part of legislation unveiled on Thursday. A Manhattan apartment building on the Upper West Side, formerly branded Trump Place, is sold for $266 million. New York-based apartment investor A&E Real Estate purchased the tower at 140 Riverside Boulevard from Sam Zell's Equity Residential, according to a person familiar with the matter. American Airlines has hired a bus company to carry passengers between Philadelphia and a couple of nearby airports. The service will start June 3rd between Philadelphia International and airports in Atlantic City and Allentown, Pennsylvania. It'll operate the service with a company called Landline. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm
Steve POTUS. And on 1010 Winds in New York, we're talking about how remote work appears to be making the white-collar workday longer and longer.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Global food prices are surging at the fastest pace ever on the Ukraine war.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that some United Airlines workers who sued over a COVID vaccine mandate say the company is breaking promises when it comes to workers getting their old jobs back.
I'm Caroline Hepko, Bloomberg DAB, Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson welcoming the German Chancellor Olaf Scholz for talks on Ukraine.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting health insurance pre-approvals will be coming faster in Michigan.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Grim scenes of devastation in Ukraine have made one thing clear. Europe must end its reliance on Russian fossil fuels as soon as possible. It's a tall order, to be sure, but the consensus among the European Union's 27 member states is moving in the right direction. A proposal has been aired to embargo Russian coal, and discussions are underway to do the same with oil. Reducing Russian gas imports, although more contentious, should also be on the table. Meanwhile, the build-out of new liquefied natural gas terminals to accept shipments from other countries should be paired with a strong push to boost renewable energy across the continent. Europeans have rightly been eager to show solidarity with Ukraine. They can do so by refusing to fund Russia's war machine. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Futures moving higher. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sun and clouds today, chance for a shower, low 60s for highs, partly sunny, another shower possible tomorrow, upper 50s, mix of sun and clouds and low 50s on Sunday. 49 is the current temperature.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks ending the week on a positive note with European equities snapping 2 days of decline sparked by the Federal Reserve's plan for aggressive monetary policy tightening and U.S. stock index futures on the rise. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 89. NASDAQ futures up 36. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. So is the CAC in Paris. The FTSE 100 up 1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 4/32, yield 2.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1.1%, up $1.06 at $97.09 a barrel. COMEX gold down about 0.2%, or $2.90, at $1,935 an ounce. The euro, 1.0871 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3047. And the yen is at 124.08. Bitcoin this morning is on the rise, up 0.1% at $43,630. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia is giving its take on its recent pullback from positions around Kyiv and Ukraine. President Putin, the spokesman Dmitry Peskov, told Sky News the troops were really withdrawn from the regions as an act of goodwill during the negotiations between the two delegations. He also acknowledged that Russia suffered a significant loss of troops in Ukraine. The U.S. Congress voted overwhelmingly to strip Russia's normal trade status with the U.S. and ban imports of its gas, oil, and coal. In golf at the Masters, Sungjae Im leads the field after round one with 5 under. Tiger Woods is 4 shots back from the lead. Round two's today. Stay tuned for updates every hour on Bloomberg Radio and a special edition of Masters Tonight coming up at 11 p.m. Eastern. Major League Baseball, the Mets beat the Nationals 5-1. The Yankees host the Red Sox today after yesterday's scheduled opener was postponed because of rain. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Devils lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
David Weil is withdrawing his name from consideration for the role of the nation's chief wage-hour regulator after his nomination was defeated in the Senate. A federal judge in California freed Alphabet and its directors from a shareholder lawsuit claiming that they failed to oversee compliance with a federal children's privacy law. Owners of Chrysler Pacifica plug-in hybrid minivans are proposing a class action against FCA. The plaintiffs claim they overpaid for vehicles that are fire and explosion prone.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Okay, Jeff, thanks. It's coming up to 5:51 on Wall Street. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, and you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager. Let's take a look at this market now as we get you set for a Friday morning. Esty Dweck is with us now, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. On a morning, Esty, where we're looking for some gains, particularly strong surge this morning in European stocks, as Karen mentioned earlier, after 2 days of declines on the Fed. But given what's happening with the war in Ukraine, is there still a chance that we could see some negative moves for markets depending on how the war develops?
Good morning. For sure. We've seen that the war headlines are having less of an overall impact on markets, but punctually you can still have that impact on certain regions, especially on Europe. But I think the dovish surprise that you had from the ECB yesterday, where they did reemphasize that they think inflation is going to cool and they have a much bigger growth concern than in the US, I think that's probably, for now at least, carrying over and hopefully will outweigh the war headlines, just because we've gone back and forth on those many, many times, and it shouldn't be such a surprise that they're not as positive as one might have thought or hoped.
Let's talk about the inflation outlook for the U.S. here. We're starting to hear from some analysts that we may have hit peak inflation. Is that what you're seeing here, and what impact could the Fed have?
Well, we're starting to see whether we are at peak or close to peak. We've been saying that for a few months, and of course, we keep getting these upside surprises. I do think that inflation is gradually going to abate. And when you take a step back and think of what's driving inflation, you kind of have this triple problem for the Fed. You have the supply-driven inflation that are due to the supply chain disruptions, and that, again, was or is still, I guess, transitory is a tough word to use, but just a much longer transition period because of China's zero COVID policy, because we've continued to have on and off lockdown. So that is improving, but slowly. Then you have the war-related, if I can use that term, inflation, which is food and energy prices that are obviously soaring, probably haven't seen the end of that entirely coming through. And on that, really, on both of the first, you really don't think the Fed rate hikes are going to have that much of an impact on there. Where they could have more of an impact is on the wage side, which we are seeing rising again, which is a concern for the Fed, because that's what could stay entrenched for longer. And so you have a Fed that's really trying to re-anchor those medium to long-term inflation expectations. They're trying to bring these 7-8% numbers back down. Hopefully, into the end of the year, we're back towards 4-5%, down towards 3% for next year. But that it's going to be a very tricky balancing act, because this soft landing is very difficult to achieve.
Yeah, to say the least. How aggressively do you think the Fed is going to move against inflation? Of course, we've heard the talk about perhaps a 50 basis point hike at next month's meeting and perhaps in subsequent meetings as well. Do you think the Fed will go that hard?
I think it's a very high probability for May in the sense that the market has pretty much absorbed it and accepted it to some extent. And that should allow the Fed to just get a little extra in. They're trying to front load it a bit. I do still think they're going to have to pause at some point in the second half of the year. They're not going to be able to continue, just keep hiking. We're already seeing the Fed fund futures start to pricing rate cuts at the end of 2023. So how aggressively do you want to hike if a year later you might have to be cutting? So May probably 50, whether they try to get one more 50 in Q2 or I'd say June, July is possible, maybe a little less likely, but I don't see hikes at every meeting until the end of the year.
Do you see the more aggressive stance, if it does pan out from the Fed, having an impact on stock valuations?
At this point, we're already pricing in so many rate hikes that it's difficult to say the market isn't pricing it in. We had a surprise this week where the markets saw Lael Brainard's comments as being more hawkish in terms of the balance sheet, and we had an impact there. But from a rate hike perspective, it's difficult to price in much more than what's already in the markets. So you can have, again, you're going to have a very big meeting in May, more news on the balance sheet that can have a choppy and even a painful second quarter for stocks. Beyond that, I think things should improve. And on the valuation side, we've already seen quite a big correction because of these rate hike expectations and just because the markets had a tough start to the year. And that should improve into the end of the year as well.
And of course, before the May meeting, we have earnings season kicking off in earnest next week with the big banks starting things off. What's your expectation for earnings? You mentioned wage pressures. Is that going to affect margins?
Probably not yet. I don't think anyone's expecting a stellar first quarter earnings result. We're going to start with the banks, so we're going to see a little bit what the consumer's looking like, see how the outlook pans out for the year, which should probably be a little bit more downbeat despite higher net interest margins. You're seeing some companies able to pass on some of the costs, which is why we're seeing these inflation numbers. And I don't think we've seen enough wage increases. And again, it might depend on the segment and on the sector for that to have an impact on margins for the businesses today.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Esty. Are you turning defensive in terms of what you're advising your clients, or do you think growth stocks can continue to outperform?
I think there's still potential for growth stocks. We've had a barbell approach and we're keeping it. We think tech is going to come back in demand as investors look for quality and sustainable earnings. And that, again, might take a little bit of time, but it should feed through throughout the whole of the year.
Thanks so much. Great having you with us this morning. Hope you have a good weekend. Esty Dweck with us now from FlowBank, the Chief Investment Officer over at FlowBank. Looking ahead to the market open, S&P futures are moving higher. We're by 10 points on the S&P E-minis. Dow futures up 104 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 38 points. The 10-year Treasury right now is down 430 seconds. The yield, 2.67%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51. NYMEX crude is up 0.9%, up 84 cents, $96.87 a barrel. And looking at Bitcoin, little changed right now, around $43,500. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.